continuing in the compound names of God, Jehovah. And you hadn't known it, but we were doing, what were we doing last time? Jehovah Sabaoth, part two, which was, what was it? The Lord of Hosts. Pray for my mind. The Lord of Hosts. And it showed, the Lord of Hosts. And we saw that God was the leader of the armies of heaven and of earth. And we looked the second week at the judgment that that implied. And I thought we would go this week to a gentler name. Because you see, every name is God in his various aspects. And so if we know these names, we'll know our God. And the one we're going to look at this week is Jehovah Rohi. And you need to look at that carefully, Rohi, because we did already do a study on Jehovah Rophi, R-O-P-H-E. And Jehovah Rophi is God, our healer. Jehovah Rohi is God, my shepherd. You know, very often when you see a picture of Jesus, he's carrying a lamb on his shoulders. Well, after tonight, we'll have a little more understanding of that. Actually, they say that those lambs that the shepherd carries are lambs with broken legs or something, that they're ill. And so the shepherd will actually carry them around everywhere. And Jesus is often shown as this kind of shepherd. And we're going to get more in depth to that. I also recommend this book if you've never read it. It's a must. It's A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. They're not too expensive. It's by Philip Keller. And he was a shepherd. So he writes about what sheep are like, what shepherding is like, and why God calls us sheep. Now we're going to look at that in miniature tonight, but not, we can't do the depth of this book, because this is line by line of Psalm 23. Where we're going to begin. And it's beautiful. It just gives so much understanding about it. It's very, very thrilling to see. But this name, of all the names, I think, shows a tender and an intimate individual touch and the care that God has for us. Because there's not much in, you know, they say what? Peanut butter and jelly, coffee and cream, things that go together. A shepherd and a sheep, you know? It's like that is a close, intimate relationship. I'm just going to read you this I took out of a book to give you an idea. A recent traveler in Palestine observes, shepherding does not change much in Palestine, where wild beasts may descend still upon unprotected sheep and suddenly destroy them. The Palestine shepherd lives night and day with his animals. He establishes a degree of intimacy with them, which is touching to observe. He calls them all by their names, and they, knowing his voice and hearing his only, listen. Did you know that? He protects the sheep from thieves and preying animals who would devour them at night by sleeping in the opening of the often makeshift sheepfold. So he sleeps in the door. He actually is the door. We're going to see that Jesus says that, I am the door to the sheepfold. And they, sensing his watchfulness, fear no evil. He provides pasture and water even in the wilderness and the presence of enemies, and they, casting all their anxiety upon him, are fed. There is a singular, unique communion between the shepherd and his sheep, which, after one has visited Palestine and observed it, makes the symbol of the Good Shepherd even more meaningful. You know, Moses spent 40 years as a shepherd. When he fled from Pharaoh's court in Egypt, he was 40, and he was in that wilderness being a shepherd for 40 years when God appeared to him in the burning bush and said, go back and liberate the people. And then 40 years they were in the wilderness. Joseph was a shepherd. He was very young when he was sent into Egypt as a slave, but his family was shepherds. And Joseph was a shepherd. David was a shepherd. There are many lessons that God taught them through being a shepherd, lessons that he himself, as our shepherd, knows. And the shepherd is a symbol of leading the flock. And when you take care of sheep, since sheep are very much like us, humans, God did not just accidentally choose sheep. We're very, very parallel to sheep. We're not too bright. There are a lot of parallels. We have a herd instinct. We don't do things that are good for us necessarily. We do things by habit. We follow anybody, even a sheep that may not be too wise to follow. Lots of parallels. So he taught his leaders, like Moses and David, by letting them be shepherds. He taught them how to be kings, how to be leaders of the people, how to be leaders of the flock. So let's start with Psalm 23, probably the most famous verses of the Bible. Almost every child learns them, and almost every old person recites them over and over for comfort, and then everything in between. And as I said, this whole book is just about Psalm 23, but we'll just look at it. The Lord is my shepherd. That's Jehovah Rohi right there in Hebrew. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Want is an old King James word for I shall not lack. I shall not need. I shall be satisfied. And when we're in the presence of the Good Shepherd, we are satisfied. The book goes into lovely depth. It talks about how flocks that don't have good shepherds get sick, and they get skinny, and they, because the shepherd who is over them is not taking care of them. But our good shepherd so takes care of it. When a shepherd takes care of a flock, they are totally content and happy. And that's the image. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And it talks about in this book, a green pasture is not an easy thing to find. You just don't happen upon them. They come by hard, laborious work of the shepherd, by cleaning the rocks out, by knowing where to take the sheep and so on, and keeping the pastures green, and that his flock is always well fed. It takes a lot of effort on the part of the shepherd. And so the sheep that is in green pasture is satisfied. If you see a sheep lying down, that means that they're happy. It talks about it in this book. They don't just lie down because they're usually very anxious and worried as an animal. So if they lie down, they have that peace. They know they're taken care of. Well, our good shepherd makes us lie down in green pastures. And that's at all times. This is the way he wants us to be. Now, we can get discontent and dissatisfied very easily. The way that we keep satisfied is to keep our eyes on the shepherd. And that's true of a sheep, too, a real sheep. As long as he can see the shepherd and have a view of him and know that he's with them, they relax. And that's why the shepherd is with them all day and all night and sleeps right with them. Because a good shepherd will. Because as long as a good shepherd is there with the sheep, they are relaxed. And the only way we can be relaxed in the midst of this turmoil of life is to always be knowing that our shepherd is right there, as he says he is. And that we always turn our eyes upon him and see that he's caring for us and leading us and guiding us. As I say, it's real tempting just to spend the evening on Psalm 23. every verse, every part of the psalm has a chapter in here. And so he leads me beside the still waters. Also, I should mention that the green pastures, what does the Lord feed us with? He feeds us with his word. And that is when we have peace. And also the still waters represent the spirit. Always when you see water, living waters, rivers of living water, or rivers, still waters are his spirit. So he leads me beside the still waters. The shepherd is always guiding us to where we can partake of his spirit. And actually, I'm going to get her some water. The comforter, he is called. The word the Holy Spirit in Greek is paraclete, which means comes alongside. And so she's bringing you water.
Well,
oh. Okay. Yes. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. God, if we need refreshing, that is the place where we go. These are the job of the shepherd, to restore your soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Do we have to worry about whether to go right or left? Not if we let our shepherd lead us and guide us. He will lead us in the paths of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And, you know, we don't even have to fear at death, because the Good Shepherd is leading and guiding us from one place to the next. And we're going to see that even through some scriptures tonight. And notice that it is the shadow of death. It's not really death, because as Christians, we don't die. We are immediately with the Lord, like that. This body is just one shell that we shed, and we immediately are in the presence of the Lord. So it's not even death, it's a shadow. And the valleys, it talks about, valleys are places you have to go through to get to mountains. Did you realize that? You don't just hop from mountaintop to mountaintop. And we live in a valley here, so that's, you know, pretty evident that you have to go through one to get to the mountain and then to the higher pastures. And it's the shepherd's job to lead the sheep through the valley, which can be a dangerous place. Or maybe you have to hunt for water. Or maybe if predators are stalking around. But he will lead and guide us through that valley. And we need fear no evil. We should not be fearing the devil. We should be fighting him, but not fearing him. 4, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. On your sheet, I put a rod and a staff at the bottom. That's what they look like. And the book has one whole chapter in here about the rod and the staff and their meaning. And it's, you know, it's really beautiful. But when we think of the rod, it's obvious that it is a club and that it would be a weapon against the wolf and the bear. Remember when David slew the lion and the bear that it tried to attack the sheep? And it's used very, very agilely by the shepherd. Also, it's used to discipline the sheep, not that he beats on them, but it is a rod of discipline. It's the rod that Moses is always, you know, talking about, that he presented to Pharaoh. It turned into a snake. He pointed his rod toward the Red Sea and it parted and so on. So there are a lot of the rod of God in the Bible. And so it takes on deeper meaning, which we, you know, won't go into depth tonight. The rod also, remember, it says the sheep pass under the rod. And there's a David Wilkerson tape. As every sheep passes under the rod by the door where the shepherd is standing, they are counted and they are checked for sickness, for bugs, for the general, you know, how is your wool? The rod is used to poke into the wool to see the condition of the skin and to see the health of the... It's intimate. And the staff is used to guide, to pull back the strays, to tell the, you know, kind of direct the sheep where to go and so on. And this is the two things that the shepherd uses to guide and protect his flock. So it says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou anointest, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. I actually did a study once on just what the Lord's table is. And all the food, the spiritual food, the Word of God, the drink, the Holy Spirit, and all the things that he wants to offer us, peace and joy, and contentment. That's a table of the Lord. And he prepares that table even in the presence of our enemies. And many, many times I can bear witness in difficult times when you shouldn't have peace. He has presented a table right in the presence of my enemies. And all, and my, you anoint my head with oil. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. But the shepherds really did anoint the sheep with oil to keep the little gnats and bugs out of their eyes and nose and a lot of the diseases that they would ordinarily get. And can you think of anything more tender than that? And also just the protection. The oil is the Holy Spirit, which God puts in our life as we ask him for it to protect and guide us. My cup runneth over, just talking about the abundant life that God wants to give all of us. And there are many people who are right in front of the table of God, but they're not eating, or they're not even seeing it. And they're remaining, you know, beggarly and sickly and not partaking of what God wants to abundantly give us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Ultimately, he will lead us to the house of the Lord. Heaven, and then back here on earth, and then the new heaven. And so this is just a brief look at the Lord, my shepherd, which is the first place where Jehovah Rohi appears in Scripture. And what a comforting, intimate relationship God wants to have with us. On the secondary sheet that I gave you, and we don't have to, let's just look at it together. I just looked up in a Bible dictionary the word shepherd, and it says from Hebrew, roa, roi, one who tends, duties, look at it. The routine of the shepherd's duties appear to have been as follows. In the morning, he led forth his flock from the fold, which he did by going before them and calling to them, as is still usual in the East. And then he had to, should any sheep be astray, he had to search for it till he found it. He supplied them with water. At evening he brought them back to the fold. He reckoned to see that none were missing by passing them under the rod as they entered the door of the enclosure, checking each sheep as it passed by a motion of the hand, and what, and so on. So you can look down at that and see what the shepherd had to do. And then the life of the shepherd, the office as described in the Bible, was attended with much hardship and even danger. And you know, the Lord has gone through that for us. And he continues to go through it with us. So you might look at that in more depth to see just what did a shepherd do. And it'll give you more insight about the Lord, my shepherd. Let's go to Psalm 77:20. Psalm 77:20. Thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And it's talking about God leading his people like a flock. So we are sheep. You're going to see that throughout the Bible. We are God's flock. And he leads us, even if he uses Moses or Aaron or somebody else in our life, our husbands, our bosses, whoever is in a sort of a position of leadership in our life, it's actually God, our shepherd, behind them. And that's why we can serve with joy, serve with obedience, even if the person isn't so nice or doesn't seem to be so just or understanding, because we're serving our shepherd. He has put that person in our life right then for various reasons. But he is leading us all along. And it says here that he was leading the people of Israel by Moses and Aaron, but he was behind it. Psalm 78. verse 52. But made his own people to go forth like sheep, that's us, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And this is talking about God. And he led them on safely, so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. And he brought them to the border of his sanctuary, even to his mountain, which his right hand had purchased. Showing the Lord as a shepherd, leading and guiding. And this is for our own lives too. We all go through many wilderness times, many valley times, many times when we don't understand what's going on. It doesn't seem like God is there or hears us. We can't feel him, but guess what? He's there. And he is not going to let go of his sheep. And he is guiding us all the time. And if we are really sick or broken legs, he'll carry us. So just trust that and just put yourself in his arms. That's the way he wants us to be. Verse 70 of that same psalm. He chose David also, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. Remember, David was a shepherd. From following the ewes with great young, he brought him to feed Jacob, his people. Instead of feeding the sheep, he brought them to feed Israel, and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. And of course, behind David, just as behind Moses, was God the shepherd. And he, a shepherd, is responsible to feed the sheep. And feeding on the Word of God, feeding so that we'll be satisfied and healthy. God is going to do that for us. He is doing it. Psalm 79:13. So we, thy people, and the sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. And Psalm 100, this is the song I thought we could sing maybe at the end. Psalm 100, verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now, I did not give every verse. There are many, many that you'll start to see through the Bible and how that theme is always there, that we're his sheep and the sheep of his pasture. And I tell you, he's a good shepherd, so he has a green pasture. And he's made sure that the enemies can't get us. And he's made sure that we'll have water and we'll have food, no matter how hot or cold or rainy or dry it is, no matter whether we're in the valley or the mountain. He's still leading us. Difficult times or easy times. Just go back to Psalm 80. I did it out of order there because of the way I wanted to teach it. Psalm 80, verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. Now that is the name of our Lord. That is Jehovah Rohi, shepherd of Israel. And we are grafted in Israel now. O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth. I thought that was so beautiful. Also on your sheet, that extra second sheet, just to glance for a minute, you see where it says Psalm 23, 14 blessings of sheep? And that is out of Psalm 23. The Lord is their shepherd. They have no want. They rest in green pastures. And then it goes on with more of them that we read. And ending with faith that in the next life they will dwell in God's house forever. And you can look up some of those other scriptures that verify this message. So we are indeed blessed. We have a good shepherd. we have the best shepherd of all. I took this out of a book. It says, it is no accident that God has chosen to call us sheep. The behavior of sheep and human beings is similar in many ways. And this book goes into great depth. It's fabulous. Sheep do not just take care of themselves, as some might suppose. Did you know that? That sheep left on their own don't do well at all. They require, more than any other class of livestock, endless attention and meticulous care. Our mass mind or mob instincts, our fears, our timidity, sheep are very timid, our stubbornness and stupidity, sheep are those and so are we, our perverse habits, you know, a sheep will go on doing the same old thing even though it's bad for them, are all parallels of profound importance. Yet despite these adverse characteristics, Christ chooses us, he buys us, he calls us by name, he makes us his own, and he delights in caring for us. Let's, amazing. This should be so comforting. I know it comforted me to think about it in depth. And so when we are feeling restless, nervous, anxious, depressed, and then we can just realize, hey, we're part of the flock. Let's let our shepherd guide us. We don't have to do the guiding and running around. Let's just look to him and see where he's taking us. Let's turn to Isaiah 40. This has been made into another song. Isaiah 40, verse 9. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. We looked at those aspects before, but 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. The shepherd took care of the ewes as they were pregnant and after they bore their babies with special attention, and he would carry the little lambs before they could walk very well on their shoulders, on his shoulders. And that's the picture you so often see of Jesus, carrying a little lamb. There was a wonderful one. I didn't see it till the end because it's so dark. It probably wouldn't have copied, but there's the shepherd and the little lambs just nestling into his face. And I love that. That's like us. And know that he won't do any harm to us and that he's going to care for us. And so it's God's job to feed us. So why should we fret if you don't have enough food, enough money, and so on? It's God's job. And he will carry us in his bosom whenever we need it. You've heard of that footprints in the sand. You know, where were you? I only saw one set of footprints in my hard times. And the Lord said, I was carrying you. And he will gently lead us. He does. He's always so gentle. He has to get a little tougher if you are stubborn, but that's for your own good. If you keep on running away, no, he's got to run after you and take more severe methods, but try not to run away from him. Isaiah 56. We see a little bit different approach here. And the book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, goes into a lot of personal experience about shepherds who aren't good as compared to our good shepherd, Jesus, and what a difference it makes. His watchmen, Isaiah 56, verse 10, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. These are, they cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. These are people who are leading the flock, who are lazy, they don't care, they are sensual, they are selfish, they are greedy, they are blind, they are ignorant, and so on, comparing with what we just saw in Psalm 23, how God takes care of us. The ultimate evil one would be the devil and all the demons, or any person that's being used by the devil to mislead us or abuse us and not take care of us. It's also talking about, as we're going to see in the next passage, pastors who look only after themselves and not the flock. So these are evil shepherds, wicked shepherds, I call them here. Yea, they are greedy dogs which never have enough, verse 11, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. You see, but our shepherd always understands us, doesn't he? It says there's nothing that we have gone through that he doesn't understand, because he went through it too. They all look to their own way. You see, but our shepherd looks to us and cares for us. He's unselfish, but they are selfish. All look to their own way, everyone for his own gain from his quarter. Come, ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. Eat, drink, and be merry. They are not looking ahead to the future, to the tough winter, to the time when you're not going to have the green pasture in about 10 miles and so on. But they're looking to now. Also, if you do new wine and strong drink, it's like false doctrines, false teaching, not the pure word of God, lies, distortions. But what I wanted to point out here are there are wicked shepherds. We're going to look more at that. But God is our good shepherd, and he is trying to protect us from wicked shepherds. However, if we do know the word, seek God, and love God, it says, we read and we're going to see later, the sheep know the shepherd's voice. That's our protection. Because if you get to know God, you'll know his voice, then any false voice you won't even answer. Because a sheep knows his own shepherd and only answers, and that's true, only answers to the voice of his own shepherd. And that's the way we have to be. That's how we're protected against the wicked ones that creep in. Because it should be almost like a clanging bell in your head. Wrong voice. That is not the voice of my gentle shepherd. See? And that doesn't bear witness with the way he always talks. So, look at Jeremiah 3:15. That's the next book. God is promising this restoration. I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And so the ones we looked at before were wicked shepherds or false pastors or evil pastors. Now, you might not have been aware of the definition of pastor. Maybe you just went around using that word ignorantly. But you see on your sheet, did you know that a pastor is a shepherd? You know, we also get the word pasture from that same kind of root. Pastor is not glorified. It isn't, oh, most holy, reverend, whatever. It's shepherd. Because a pastor is supposed to lead the flock. And so a pastor is a shepherd, one who tends herds or flocks. I got this out of Vines, and it said, not merely one who feeds them. It's not enough to have a pastor who's just giving you the word and who doesn't take care of you. You know, because they're supposed to be in the image of the true shepherd, Jesus Christ. A lot of pastors think they've done their job when they just feed. But look at all the duties of a shepherd. And I like that word tend. And that's why I underlined it. Because we get the word tender from that. One who tends to something is a tender, and it implies the attitude also. Tenderness. And so he guides the flock. A shepherd must guide, not just feed. You know, I come in and do a study and goodbye and see you sometime, or I don't care if I never see you. If that's not what a pastor is. And it involves tender care and watchful supervision. So that God says he will give us pastors according to his heart. Well, we know he has a shepherd's heart. And he wants to give us men, pastors, who have his heart, who feed with knowledge and understanding. Knowledge about who we are, how we feel, when to teach what, and how to guide, and to have understanding. Isn't that interesting? On your second sheet, in the middle there, it says 24 qualifications of pastors, and I thought that was very, very interesting, and they all come out of Jeremiah. Not all out of this chapter, but 24, a pastor should, one, be a man with God's own heart. That's what we read in verse 15. Feed the flock with knowledge and understanding. That was in verse 15. And then you can look at that list and see, do you have a good pastor or not, or a wicked one? I didn't mean to put that 14 future blessings of Judah there, but I was doing so much cutting and pasting, it slipped by me. So you can look during the week at some more of those qualifications for the pastors. Let's look at Jeremiah 23. Verse 1. Whoa. And when God uses the word whoa, he means it. We learned that last week. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Now, people are not getting away with anything, so don't worry that they are. Pray instead for them and ask for God's mercy. But we learn that a pastor who is not good will destroy the sheep. A pastor who is not good will scatter the sheep. And we've seen it, all of us, in our lives at various times, I'm sure. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again into their folds. And they shall be fruitful and increase. Sheep will not multiply if they are unhappy and they are not taken care of. And I will set up shepherds. I set up shepherds over them which shall feed them. And they shall fear no more, neither be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. So the good shepherd, the good pastor with the shepherd's heart, with God's heart, will feed the sheep so they never walk in fear, and they're not depressed or dismayed, and they don't want for anything, just like Psalm 23. And this is talking about Israel being restored back in the land in the end times, but we can always apply these things to our own lives as well, which is what we're looking at today. What to look for in a shepherd, and what to realize our God sees us as his flock, and we're his little lambs, and he cares for us with intimate attention, night and day. He is sleeping with us. He is walking with us, and he is providing our need. And the kind of shepherd, that's why it says, be not many teachers in James. They answer more harshly to the Lord. And so you need to pray for your pastors. They are under great attack. And you need to realize it. And pray that they will fulfill these things that you now know that they should. And that they will be good shepherds of their flock. Look at Jeremiah 50. Verse 6. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray, and they have turned them away on the mountains, and they have gone from mountain to hill, and they have forgotten their resting place. See, and so the opposite would be Jehovah Rohi. Our good shepherd does not cause us to go astray. In fact, if we're lost, he goes out of his way to bring us back, as we see in the parable of the lost sheep, which we'll look at. And if we're scattered, he tries to go after us, and he tries to bring us into a resting place when we're skidding all over the place. His effort is always to bring us back into that place of rest, the place of lying down in green pastures. Verse 17 of that chapter. Israel is a scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First the king of Assyria hath devoured him, and last this Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has broken his bones. And so we see that, again, the scattered sheep. And God does not desire that lions, bears, or any insects, all of which represent demonic powers, or the evil one, should in any way cause us to be frightened or affect us. He will take care of us. Okay, let's go to the Ezekiel 34. This is a heavy. It's after Jeremiah. Every time I hear this chapter, and I am going to read this whole chapter, I just tremble for false shepherds. Let's look at it. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? What about these people who are proclaiming the gospel, who are raking in the money, who are living in mansions and driving big cars and taking their money from the poor and the widows? What do you think? Do you worry about them, the justice of God? No, I don't. But I pray for mercy, and I pray that they'll repent before it's too late. Woe be unto them. You eat the fat, and you clothe you with the wool. Also, the wool represents the flesh, the self-life. And so they clothe you with the wool. You take the lambs and shear them and use the wool for your own clothing. It's called fleecing the flock. We have that term today, right? You kill them that are fed. You know, the fatter they are, the ones that are satisfied, those are the ones you destroy for your own dinner. And believe me, it can happen. But you feed not the flock. The diseased you have not strengthened. You know, you don't look after the weak and the feeble and those who need counseling and things like that. You don't strengthen them. You just let them go because they're a bother, you know. Neither have you healed that which was sick. Neither of you bound up that which was broken. But look, isn't that Jesus who does those very opposite things? Since he's the good shepherd, he strengthens the diseased, he heals the sick, he binds up whatever's broken in your life. That's his job. Neither have you brought again that which was driven away. You know, sometimes the flock scatters and the leader doesn't go after them into the mountains to bring them back. They seldom do. Neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. Does a shepherd rule his flock? Does he lord it over? I'm the boss, you do this, beat, beat, beat with the rod. No, he doesn't rule them. He leads them, tends them, feeds them, cares for them. So he says, with force and cruelty, these pastors have ruled. They were scattered because there was no shepherd. They became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Of course, it's speaking of Israel, but again, applying it to today. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field. Beasts represent the devil. Demons, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth. What an image. That they may not be meat for them. They are devouring the flock. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in that day that he is among the sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Isn't that beautiful? And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land. Of course, it's referring to Israel, and it's happening. And feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. And there shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. And I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. Ooh. As for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture? But you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. These are the false pastors in the flock. As for my flock, they eat that which you have trodden with your feet. What an image of the pastor polluting the word of God and feeding it to his flock and polluting the Holy Spirit and having it, having their feet walk through that mess. Filth. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and the lean cattle. Because you have thrust with side and with shoulder and have pushed all the diseased with your horns till you have scattered them abroad, therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I will set up one shepherd. Who's that? Jesus. But David is the type. I will set up one shepherd over... scripturally, the position of authority when the Messiah will rule from David's throne, it means from the house of David, tribe of Judah, and throne of Judah, comes the Messiah that was promised to King David. I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. And it doesn't literally mean David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land. Yea, can't wait. And they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in its season, and there shall be showers of blessing. What a nice phrase. read me a nice song or poem, showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. And they shall be safe in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke, and delivered them out of the hands of those that serve themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown. They shall no more be consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus they shall know that I, the Lord, am their God. I, the Lord, their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. And you are my flock, and the flock of my pasture are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. And of course, we take that now spiritually to be our promise. Even now, God desires that even on this earth, that we are in green pasture. But eventually, of course, we come to the spiritual fulfillment. But he wants us to have that now. Let's go to the New Testament, Matthew 9. Verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. That's our good shepherd. Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. But see, now the shepherd is there. Matthew 10:16. He's speaking to the apostles, the 12 right now, but it also applies to us. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. You know, we are out there in a world full of evil, and with evil people, with lions and bears and wolves who want to devour the flock of God. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. But do we have to fear? No, because our good shepherd's with us all the while. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So there are different applications of sheep. I just wanted to point out a few. We are also the sheep here that are sent out in the midst of wolves as we preach the gospel. Matthew 18. 11. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Doesn't he sound like our shepherd going after the lost sheep? How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, does he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? We think sometimes God's taking care of the 99 when we are have been bad little sheep. But you know, he's more concerned about us than at that time, to bring us back to the place that's right. And so, if he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than the 99 which went not astray. Isn't that beautiful? Now, it doesn't mean you should go astray, that God might love you more, or anything like that. But it just shows his tender concern for his whole flock. We look at the sheep, we see this, we see that, we make all kinds of judgments. We think this guy's gone too far, we think he's fallen away, we think he's, you know, this and that. But it's not how God looks at the flock. So let's stop doing it and making those, stop making those judgments. Matthew 25:32. This is an interesting one. This is when Jesus comes back to earth, which we saw last week. And 25:32. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, the goats on his left. This is when he judges the nations for how they treated Israel. And a sheep is always the term that go for the beloved of the Lord, and the righteous of the Lord who go on his right hand, and the goats or the are not desirable, they go on the left for judgment. Matthew 26, 31. Then said Jesus unto them, all of you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, and this is the night of his arrest, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. He is the shepherd. When they take and arrest him, all the apostles run and hide in fear and trembling, and they think the end has come, and that all they're just desperate. And they're weeping, and they're behind locked doors for fear that they'll be arrested. And it was predicted back in Psalms, this verse it's quoting, when I smite the shepherd, the sheep of the flock will be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, that's what we're going to be celebrating, I will go before you into Galilee. He'll become the shepherd again after he is risen. John 10. One of the most powerful chapters. John had insight into the Lord like none of the others, it seems. A real intimacy. He was the one in the Last Supper who nestled on the Lord's bosom. And it's symbolic of the closeness he had. He was like the favorite. Not because God favored him, but because he wanted to be there. You know, we can be as close as we want to be. We can be as intimate as we want to be. There's no limit except what we put on it. So, John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. The sheepfold is the pen where the sheep are kept. And the shepherd is the one who stands in the door, goes in and out of the door, because he has a right to. Okay, but anyone who climbs up the wall, the fence, or gets in some other way would be a thief or a robber, right? Okay, but he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. They would have this huge, huge area for all the sheep of all these different shepherds, all staying together overnight. And the shepherd would come in and call his sheep, and they would all get up and go with him. And they still do. And that's the way we're to be with our Lord, and not listening to the thief or robber who comes in the other way. You can think more about it this week. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, verse 4, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow. Lord, help us to be that way. But will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things were which he spoke to them. They were like us. And then said Jesus unto them, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. So not only is he the shepherd, he's the door. He's the very door. And we're going to look at that next week in the Passover. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. That's our good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Did Jesus do that? But you can be sure a wicked shepherd won't. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he is a hireling, and he cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so I know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, speaking of the Gentiles, because he came for Israel. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Isn't it? Jew and Gentile. So turn to chapter 21 of John. Verse 17. Do you remember that Peter had denied the Lord the night that he was arrested three times? He even cursed. If you look at the translation, he blasphemed. And after the resurrection, Jesus Christ came to him personally. That's our good shepherd, who for the one who's gone astray will go to bring him back. And he spoke to the Lord, Peter, and they reconciled. And now God is speaking intimately to Peter right now. And he says to him the third time, we won't read all the times, Peter, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, lovest thou me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. He said it to him three times, knowing that Peter would be a leader. The most important thing was to feed the sheep. And just as Jesus had come after Peter, so Peter was to look after the flock, feed the sheep. Again, that shepherd image. And Acts 20. It's the next book. Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed, and this is the church after the resurrection. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock. We're still a flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God. So this is the pastors and leaders who are being set up in the church afterwards, being told the very same thing, feed the flock, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing, Paul is speaking, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. False teachers. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. So still speaking in the terms of a flock, of a shepherd, and of wolves, and things like that. And it gives you a lot of insight through the Bible to look at things and see God in this aspect. So should every name give you a fullness when you put them all together of who God really is. And then when you hear about gods, which aren't gods at all, from the New Age, from the world, from the lies, that won't be your voice, the voice of your Lord, because it doesn't match with any of the names that we had. So you'll be able to tell. Hebrews 13:20, to go forward. Toward the back. Hebrews 13. 20. You with me? And now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. Who's the great shepherd? Jesus. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And now to 1 Peter, two more books forward. And I picked them specifically because who did Jesus tell to feed the sheep? Peter. Now we look at the two books that Peter wrote, but we're only going to actually look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. 1 Peter 2:25. For you were as sheep going astray. Now, does he know whereof he speaks? For you were as sheep going astray, but you are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. That's another name for Jesus, the shepherd of your soul. Can you just see him herding all of us souls? Because that's the way it is. We're his flock. In 1 Peter 5, verse 1, the elders which are among you, elders would be teachers, pastors, leaders, right? Shepherds. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock. Isn't that great? Jesus told him, and now he is teaching many pastors, and he says, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. You know, and this can be for any of us in positions of leadership. We are all shepherds in some aspect. Mothers are shepherds over their children. Sometimes they're not your own children. You end up teaching Sunday school, or even have neighborhood children who are around, or you have new young believers that you're either you prayed with or who are in your church that God makes you shepherd over. And so remember what we're to do and how we're to do it with willing hearts, not for our own gain. And here's another name for Jesus, the chief shepherd. If you want, turn to Isaiah 53 with me, and if you don't want, just listen. It's a famous verse. Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. Does that have more meaning now? We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. This is a famous prophetic passage of the Messiah, Jesus, back in Isaiah, several hundred years before Jesus, saying that we like sheep have gone astray, and he laid on Jesus our iniquity. By his stripes we were healed. But there's another interesting thing here. Jesus is not only the shepherd, he's the lamb. Because he was taken like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shears. And we just had an interesting a story from a friend of ours who works up at the Lord's Land. It's absolutely true. The sheep is the only animal that does not scream or make a sound when you cut its throat. All other animals screech, and you can hear them for miles and miles, bloody screams. A lamb, and he was talking about it, actually will always get down like on all fours, like almost like it's praying. Lift its neck and look up, offering its neck. And it will not say a word, will not make a sound. He had to stop doing it. He said, thinking about Jesus, but also just that was so powerful. Jesus was that lamb who went to the slaughter for us, and he uttered not a word as a dumb sheep. That is an absolutely accurate picture. So I wanted to point out that not only is he our good shepherd, but Jesus became a sheep. He became a lamb. And he went to the slaughter. And let's close with Revelation 7. Next week we're going to go very much more into Jesus as a lamb. But Revelation 7, verse 15. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him night and day in his temple, and he that sits on the throne shall dwell among them. This is the sheep, us, come into our real home. We're up there in heaven. It's actually not our final home, though. Before the throne of God. And verse 16, they shall hunger no more, and neither shall they thirst any more. Isn't that just like the same scene of the Good Shepherd? Always feeding us and giving us water. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto the living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there in that verse is the Lamb and the Shepherd. He's both. He's called the Lamb of God with the capital because he was sacrificed as the Passover Lamb. But he is still our shepherd, leading and feeding us to the fountains of living waters. So the Lamb is the Good Shepherd. He is both. He is everything. He is Jehovah Rohi. Let's pray. Lord, what a beautiful picture. And I pray that it will get strong in our hearts, our lives, and our minds, that we will let you lead us and guide us and realize when we go astray, you are more upset than we are and you desire to bring us back. You want us to lie down in green pastures. You want to feed us in the presence of our enemies. You want to take us through the valleys of the shadow of death and every other valley. And God, you want to care for us in the mountains too. And Father, we are just moved to pray for all your pastors, your shepherds. And it can also be kings and rulers and leaders over nations. God, that they will have a shepherd's heart like David, because they will have a heart that is after God. I pray, Lord, that if they have done otherwise, if they have been wicked shepherds, that they will repent and turn again to the way that is right. And Lord, we thank you that you are with us, that you are intimately caring for us. And Lord, I will always see myself now as a little lamb on your shoulder, nestling my little face to your face. And God, realizing just how much you care for us. And also, Lord, we are reminded that you became a lamb too, a lamb that was slain. And Father, we just look forward to celebrating this resurrection time in even more depth and meaning. And every year that we have left, more so, as we get to know you better. May all the things that we learned tonight become a meaningful, living part of our life. And may we walk like contented little lambs. And Father, may we just realize that we are in your care and not get frightened. Help us this week to repent of where we have seen you wrongly and when we have acted wrong, that we might get into the proper relationship, that all of our ways might be peace, that mercy will follow us all the days of our life. Thank you, Lord God, our shepherd, the chief shepherd, and the bishop of our souls. We look forward to your coming soon to really lead us, Lord. Lead us and guide us into the true final pasture of ultimate satisfaction and wipe away our tears. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.